You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, as that old saying goes, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And that applies today as Wayne County Executive Warren Evans goes to the Regional Transit Authority Board offering a revised regional transit plan. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here with us. What do we know, Daniel, about this revised transit plan that Warren Evans is going to present and how it differs from what's been offered and rejected?
Well, I think one thing, there's a couple of features that are important. One is it aims to be a lot less capital intensive, to invest a lot less money in the main spoke or trunk lines on Woodward, Gratiot, and Michigan Avenue, and also to add more lines. So it wants to be less expensive and more flexible, to put it in general terms. And thirdly, to be open to what's evolving in the transportation space. As we've talked on your air many times, you know, we're moving into this era of autonomy and mobility, and I don't think anybody really knows where that's ultimately going to go. I think the technology is moving a lot more quickly than customer acceptance. There's a lot of skepticism, I think, among average folks about what exactly this means and how it would affect their lives and safety on roads and all that other kind of stuff. One person, Mark Hackle in Macomb County, has talked a lot about maybe we shouldn't be moving so quickly here. Maybe we should be waiting to see what's going to happen. Well, the problem with that, really, I think, is that the waiting, that could be years in the making. And I think we've already seen just very recently the cost to this region of not having national class level mass transit can be a disincentive to major investment here.
What you call a lame excuse for mass transit, as we know, cost Southeast Michigan a shot at that second Amazon headquarters. So how do you think that recent wounding might affect the way this plan's received?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, politicians can wax and wane between being very parochial and focused on their people and what their people want. And they can also kind of be big picture, looking forward, understanding how all of this fits into a larger picture. I think you're going to see a little bit of both here. I think, frankly, when politicians are predisposed to not wanting to go along with something, to not wanting to have to try and sell something, it's very easy for them to sit behind what I call the chorus of no and say, okay, our people don't support this, or this community doesn't support it within my jurisdiction, like these towns or townships or whatever the case may be. But I do think that pressure is going to mount here. I think one of the things that we're seeing broadly speaking in this community is a lot more proactive leadership. Republican, Democrat, city, county, people I think are moving beyond the culture of dysfunction and confrontation that we had in this region for a very long time. They don't have a lot of patience for it. That is, I think, in some ways very well exemplified by what Dan Gilbert's done downtown. And you've seen a lot of pent-up demand as people come. I mean, try to drive up the Lodge on a Friday night. The traffic coming into downtown Detroit at 7, 8 o'clock at night is remarkable.
Yes.
And they're doing all sorts of things. And I can remember doing that and just thinking to myself or saying to my wife, hey, and the Wings aren't even here, or the Tigers aren't even in town. And you still have this traffic coming in. So I think the dynamics in the community are changing, and this may be a very good time to try and take another whack at transit, actually.
As you pose the question in today's column, you just got to wonder, why has it been so hard to figure out a way to move people around Southeast Michigan, especially when so many other tough problems have been met with proactive cooperation and action?
Well, one reason is because I think they were in some ways forced. I mean, bankruptcy in the case of Detroit forced some solutions, I say, on the water department. It gave the counties an opportunity to create the authority they wanted to create so they could share oversight over the water department. That's not so much the case here in transit, and I think there's a lot of old animosities that kind of reside and implications. You know, if we have better transportation, what is that going to mean? Are we going to be importing problems into our community that aren't here now? People don't want to really talk about that kind of stuff, but I think it's real. The other thing is, look, this is the town that helped put the world on wheels. It still calls itself the Motor City. It's now claiming to be the world hub for mobility. I think that's pretty hollow if you've got one of the worst public transportation systems of any major city in America.
Today's meeting at the Regional Transit Authority Board, Warren Evans lays out this revised plan, and then what?
Well, I think it certainly begins the discussions again. At the Detroit Economic Club in January, there was the so-called Big Four. And a lot of us who've been around for a while have never seen such icy demeanor between particularly Brooks Patterson and Mayor Mike Duggan over this exact issue. Transit is becoming a real hot issue. And I think as the city and Wayne County get their gearing, their financial gearing going in the right direction and start piling up some wins, the patience level on the part of the leadership in those communities is going to diminish because they're going to be like, look, we've taken care of a lot of things. This is an important thing on the horizon. We need to figure out a way to make this work and to make it palatable so we can move forward, because doing nothing for another 5 or 10 years is really going to be a disincentive to investment and job growth in this community.
Detroit News Business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.